Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it is today. What can I say? We have been notified that Adam has taken ill, so we are going to make adjustments as necessary. Part of the joy of being a Presbyterian is that we are the few, the proud, and the adaptable. So my understanding is that we're going to play the last two stanzas of the hymns, and then we will join in a cappella. And if you are a Southerner, that means that somewhere in your distant past, there is a primitive Baptist. So we will sing joyfully and lustfully and loudly, okay? So with that announcement out of the way, we are going to have a concert this afternoon, 2 p.m. Spatial Effects will be here. And they're doing this as a benefit for our free little pantry. So the cost of admission, I understand, is a piece of non-perishable food which will go into the pantry. And I'm looking forward to it. Tom, did you have anything you wanted to add to that? I'm just going to put you on the spot.
The price is right.
The price is right. That's right. So plan to come and hear some marvelous bluegrass and other wonderful things. And we got a note here that the adult Sunday school class has resumed the Essential 100 course. We are at week 15. The church is born. So come and be a part of that. Learn a whole bunch of stuff. The Church Women United May Friendship Day will be May the 12th. I had a note that it had been changed to May the 19th, but they've decided to move it back to May the 12th. So May the 12th it is. Do we have a time on that? All day long. Okay. Get 11 o'clock? All right. So come and be. And just in, breaking news, Laura Goins is sporting a new accessory on her ring finger. And yes, I think she deserves a Presbyterian round of applause for her and her betrothed. Yes. Many happy wishes, and she even brought her pet fox with her today. You want to hold it up for everybody to see? She made this herself. How wonderful. You're never too old for stuffed animals, are you? I tell you. I've got a few around my... No, we're not going to get into that now. That's the announcements that we have this morning. We are going to move away from that into the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
Amen. Let us share the peace.
Please stand for the call to worship. Come join us on the journey.
Where are we going?
First stop, Emos.
What in the world is there?
I'm not sure, but the journey itself should be interesting. You never know. Who will you encounter on the road?
And
let us pray. Loving God, you call us to the journey to places of the soul. On the way, you encounter us with grace and joy, often unrecognized by your children. Help us in the hour to see where you are already. On our path to your kingdom, may we sense your presence and rejoice in your guidance. Our risen and reigning Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and in faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Forgive us, Lord. We think we may know the story. We boldly declare our wisdom, not realizing that it is only partial. We believe that our opinions are correct and our propositions are impregnable. We easily and quickly forget that we see through the glass only dimly, and our human condition alters the realities before us. Teach us again your wisdom. Show us again your purposes. Help us to align ourselves with your will so that we may recognize our Savior on the road. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
The young people to join me up front, please.
All right. Haynes has to get rid of those shades before you come up here, huh?
Yeah.
All right, good morning. Oh, we missed our cue, didn't we? I'm kind of off today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, there we go. All right. I feel like we are back on the road now. So, do you know what today is? It's a very, very special day, and I bet most of the people up here don't know. Huh?
Off day.
Off day?
Off day.
Oh, okay. Today is International Grilled Cheese Day. Did you know that? Do you like a grilled cheese? I do too. What I do with my grilled cheese is I get 2 pieces of white bread, okay, the way God intends, and I slather it with Hellman's mayonnaise. That's my type of mayonnaise. And I put on a slice of Colby Jack cheese and a slice of Munster cheese and a slice of good old-fashioned American cheese. Sound good so far? And then I add guacamole. Haynes is not impressed. Well, you know, everybody likes their grilled cheese a different way. And sometimes I put a slice of ham in there too. And then I grill it in show enough cow butter, the way God intended, until it's brown on both sides. And then I cut it down the middle. And if I've done it right, all that ooey gooey cheese and guacamole kind of start running out the sides. Are you hungry yet? Nope, not too sure about that guacamole, are you? Well, you know, it's amazing. Everybody likes things a different way. And with a grilled cheese, you know, there's not a right way or a wrong way. I have my way, which includes white bread and Hellman's mayonnaise and guacamole, but some people like to use whole wheat bread. And some people like to use Duke's mayonnaise. Do we have Duke's mayonnaise fans out there? Okay. Jody says yes, or were you saying, no way? No. Yes, okay. See, everybody has their own way. But you know what? On International Grilled Cheese Day, you can have your grilled cheese any way you want it. You know, I have a friend who puts peanut butter on his grilled cheese sandwich. That just sounds weird, doesn't it? Yeah. Would you eat a grilled cheese sandwich with peanut butter in it? I wouldn't either unless they add bananas. Y'all aren't listening, are you? Yeah, I caught you. Okay, any way you want to have a grilled cheese is fine on International Grilled Cheese Day. And you know what? The great thing about International Grilled Cheese is that everybody is different. Everybody likes it just the same. But you know what? International Grilled Cheese Day says whatever you want to put on a grilled cheese is okay. Now, church is kind of like International Grilled Cheese Day. However you come to church, you are welcome. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, any way you want to say Jesus is Lord is fine. And we're glad to have you here. And I want you to remember that church isn't about getting it right. Church is always about just getting here. And that's enough. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you that you made us all different, and some of us seem to be weird to each other. But that's okay too. Help us to remember that we all come here not to be right, but to be with each other and to share the love you have for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. See you next Sunday. Jesus loves.
Let us pray. Eternal God, whose words silence the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 118. Listen for God's word. Therefore, your shepherds hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all wild animals. Since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep, therefore you have fed, your shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my sheep, and put a stop to their feeding to the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, so that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and will sort them out, as shepherds sort out their flocks when they are among scattered sheep. So I will sort out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places to which they know have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into our own land, and I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the water courses, and all in the inhabited parts of the land. I'll feed them with good pastures, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in a good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I'll make them lie down, says the Lord. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Peter, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in the reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, that a lamb of without defect or blemish, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of the things I always appreciate about our choir is their ability to pivot on a dime. And you can't see them, okay? But I can. And their faces, when they are singing, is always a face of joy. They enjoy what they do, and they enjoy doing it together. And I cannot think of a finer metaphor for Christian ministry than our choir. And so, dear friends, I thank you. I thank you. Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke. We are reading from the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 25. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of Scripture. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Eternal God, sometimes we have a hard time paying attention. Sometimes we are so distracted by the events of our lives and the distractions of the road and the journey that we can't see that you are already there. Help us to live lives of expectancy, that we may know that you are there even when we cannot see you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, it was a tough day for a lot of folk. This was still Easter Day, Easter Sunday. And these two disciples, one named Cleopas, the other one lost to history, are on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, Emmaus is about 6-7 miles, 10 kilometers, if you are of the European persuasion, from Jerusalem. And nowadays, Emmaus has been kind of assumed into greater Jerusalem. So if you go walking to look for Emmaus, you're going to have a hard time finding it because it's a suburb of Jerusalem. But in those days, the two towns were separated from each other. And these two were walking toward Emmaus with heavy hearts. They couldn't figure out what had happened. Their vision of Jesus as the Redeemer of Israel had been sadly mistaken. They were hoping that Jesus was going to come with a mighty army of the heavenly hosts and wipe out the Roman legions and establish Jerusalem once and for all as the footstool of God. And it hadn't happened. He had died on a cross. And oh yes, he was dead. As Uncle John used to say, he was cold, blue, and graveyard dead. Dead was dead. And so on Sunday, they couldn't travel on Saturday because that was the Sabbath. So Sunday was the first day of the week, and they began making their sorrowful way to whatever appointments they may have had in Emmaus. Now, it was not uncommon for people to kind of band together as they were on the road. This was a time in which highwaymen and thieves and bandits were alive and well. And so the more people you could get to travel with you, the better it was. And so they did not object when this stranger showed up in their midst and began to walk with them. And as human nature is, this stranger hears them talking amongst themselves, and he wants to become a part of the conversation. So he says, "What are you guys talking about? What's the topic of conversation?" It was a simple question, perhaps even an expected question, for people who like to pass the time as they walk down the road conversing about different things. And so they said, "Obviously, you have not been watching the 11 o'clock news. Obviously, you have not read the Chattanooga Times. Obviously, you have not seen the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Have you been negligent in everything?" And he says, "What?" And they go about telling him all about Jesus and how he was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed. And we had hoped that he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel, but he is now dead because the chief priests and the scribes and the Roman government put him to death. And it's now the third day that he's been dead. Now, part of Jewish mythology or theology was that when you died, your spirit hovered around for 3 days. 3 days. So when they said this is now the third day, it meant that Jesus was beyond resurrection. This is now the third day since these things happened. He is gone, and he's not coming back. And he's not going to fulfill our dreams for what Messiah was going to be. And finally, at this point, Jesus has apparently heard enough, and he says, "Oh, you foolish and slow of heart to believe the words of the prophets," which is a nice way of saying, "You've got to be kidding me." And then he exposed all of the law and the prophets to them, all the history of God's dealings with Israel. And they listened and they were amazed, but they still could not recognize who he was. And by the end of the day, they invited Jesus to stay with them, still not knowing who he was. And he took the bread and he broke it after he had blessed it. And then all of a sudden their eyes were opened. Perhaps it was a memory of that Last Supper Perhaps there was a sudden familiarity of the voice. Perhaps it was the gestures of those familiar hands. Perhaps it was this keen sense of, this is someone we've known before, and all of a sudden, like a tidal wave, it came crashing upon them, their consciousness that this was indeed Jesus. He had risen indeed, and then he vanished. That's always bothered me. Has it bothered you that Jesus, once they recognized him, just poof, gone? I've always felt like he should have stuck around for the rest of the meal and, you know, said, okay, guys, I've got to go now. I'll see you directly. Nope, no by your leave, no please and thank you, just gone. This is a rich passage which we would do well to pay close attention to. Have you ever had those moments in life when God felt far away? That somehow you and God were disconnected. There was a bumper sticker, used to make me real mad, said, if you feel that God is not with you, guess who moved? Thank you very much. I've got enough guilt in my life. I don't need any more from bumper sticker theology. Guess who moved? I'm not sure we move away from God. There was a time in my life when I thought, well, you know, God's got better things to do than to spend all his time with me. There's some more guilt for you. There are times in our lives when we do not sense the presence of God. We are like children whose parents momentarily leave the room and they are left there, and all of a sudden they begin to cry because the reassurance of the parent is not there. But the parent comes back and ministers to the need of the child. We are like those children. We need to have the reassurance of God's presence. But sometimes we don't sense God's presence, and we begin to think that we've done something wrong. We are uncomfortable with the times when God is silent in our lives. Helmut Tillich, a great German theologian, wrote a book in the wake of the Second World War, when his nation was in absolute ruins. All the great cities and cathedrals had been bombed out. The people were essentially wiped out except for a few. The Allies on one side, the Russians on the other, and the Russians had a policy of take no prisoners. And it was in the wake of the chaos of World War II that Helmut Tillich wrote a book entitled The Silence of God, because he had a feeling that God had abandoned not only him but his entire nation. But as he developed the book, as he developed the thought processes, he decided that he could present a picture of the silence of God as a fertile field where the seeds of faith are planted and nurtured and watered. And even though they could not see God in the immediate moment, they were able to have faith that God was still there and still able to bring out of this chaos and destruction, out of this living hell, a new Germany, a new Europe, a new world. And so it began. So it began. Helmut Tillich was in many ways a prophet whom I like, because in those times when God seems absent from my life, and yes, even the preacher gets those, I know that he's still there. Because this passage shows me that my experience is not unique to me. These two disciples walking down the road, Jesus was with them even though they did not recognize him. Even though they could not perceive him, even though they didn't recognize his voice, Jesus was there with them. We must remember, God's presence in our lives does not depend upon our sensing it. If we only say God's presence is in my life when I'm in church with you, when I'm in fellowship with each other, if I only sense God is here then I am crippled spiritually. And I am denying the omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence of the Almighty. God is with me even when I don't sense it. There is so much richness in this passage that it would take a week of nonstop preaching to cover most of it. I don't think you've got that kind of endurance. I'm sure I don't. About 14, 15 minutes is about as far as I can go. But I want you to remember, wherever you go, wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you have become, God has not left you. God is just waiting for the right moment to show himself and his salvation one more time as he brings all of us step by step toward that town of Emmaus and beyond to the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Lord, you do not forget us, even when we momentarily forget you. Help us to celebrate the fact that you are always present, and you don't depend upon our realizing that fact. You always hold us in the palm of your hand and close to your heart. Help us, O Lord, to rejoice. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Of grounded.
Together, let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Following the prompt of Lord, in your mercy, your response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, sometimes unseen, unheard, but always present, we ask your mercy upon your world. Where warfare is rife and hatred seems so widespread, where distinctions of color and distinctions of wealth and distinctions of orientation blind us to the love which you call us to have for each other, be present, we pray, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who works behind the shadows. You are the Lord of time, and you know the plot of eternity. Help us to rest in you, knowing that your plan for us is always good. Lord, in your mercy. Send us, we pray, into places where we sometimes fear to go. Send us on roads that lead us on adventures of the Spirit, and help us to share the love of your kingdom wherever we go. Lord, in your mercy. And together, O Lord, we lift up the prayer which your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
Lord.
grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive the gift of this day. We receive the treasure which you have entrusted to us. Bless now, we pray, each gift and each giver, strengthening our hearts in the giving and multiplying these gifts by your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the good news is that Jesus does walk with us, even when we do not know him, perceive him, or confess him. He is there, walking along and loving us on the path. So go forth from this place in peace to love the Lord and serve each other. And may the grace, the mercy, and the peace of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and God the Holy Spirit, whose grace is sufficient for us all, be with us now and always. Amen.